The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. This red lager is specially brewed for proud veterans across the country. For every case purchased, Budweiser will donate $1 to Fold of Honor, a nonprofit providing scholarships to families of fallen soldiers. Bud Light, please drink responsibly. Peace. Broadcasting live from the Toyota Studios.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio.
Yes, talk radio.
It's so boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
HitThatLine.com.
I got that wood.
This.
Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Is.
Smile.
The Morning Rush.
In my wrong, cause I wanna get it on till I die. In my wrong, cause I wanna get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me. Y'all remember me.
The Morning Rush is bringing you today's show from SEC Media Days in Atlanta, Georgia. Now, live from Radio Row at the College Football Hall of Fame, here's John Neighbors.
An hour down, 2 hours to go. Appreciate everybody listening in on this beautiful day here in the great state of Georgia as we are live from SEC Media Days here in Atlanta, here in Radio Row. I don't even call it Radio Row, call it the Radio Room here at the Omni Hotel. It's a beautiful facility. It's a beautiful setup, and I'm looking forward to, as Noah as you are, the rest of the week here live from SEC Media Days. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Tyler Wilson also joining me as well, and I want to give a shout-out and much appreciation to Little Switzerland, Razorback Camper Sales, and Harry Robinson, our three sponsors that made it possible of us coming to SEC Media Days. Thank you so much, and you know, it's been a lot of fun so far. I'm looking forward to the rest of it, especially today, to see what Greg Sankey, Jimbo Fisher, and Ed Orgeron, those are kind of going to be the three that I'm going to be looking forward to as well. But as Tyler mentioned, I think I'm looking more forward to trying to translate what Ed Orgeron's going to say rather than actually hear the type of content that he's going to push out. But you talk about two different teams, though. Lots of pressure on both those coaches for different reasons. One of them being for money, and the other one being the fact that, hey, at LSU, you can't get by with 8-4. You got to win some big-time games.
Yeah, you know, I think that's the deal. You know, both these coaches have expectations. Orgeron, I think it was just, you know, time for a change. Texas A&M, it was time for a change, but it was more. We want the best coach in college football, and you know, I don't know if you could say that about LSU. I think LSU, it was the best fit for LSU at the point that mm-hmm. you know, it was what's the fan base want? What's it? They want a local guy. They want somebody with energy. They want somebody. You know, that's going to bring some offensive change in and develop quarterback. I mean, these were things and bullet points that were on LSU's list. And when I look at A&M, they had that. They had quarterbacks. They had offensive football. They had touchdowns. They just didn't have the wins. You know, so I think they bring in Jimbo Fisher that's, you know, really interesting because he's won, you know, probably as many games over the last 10 seasons as any coach in college football other than Saban, you know, and he's also got a national championship ring. So he's got the resume and the you know, the rapport to go along with it. But, you know, there's a big paycheck at the end of that. And so, you know, a seven win year this year for Jimbo Fisher, I think is going to be tough to justify. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, that 8 wins right now is probably the mark right now for Jimbo Fisher in year one.
Let's talk about program expectations, not necessarily season expectations, mm-hmm. because LSU, I think they're still clinging on to thinking they should win the division every year, even with Alabama at the level they're at. I mean, LSU's kind of been in that mindset. They think they're as good. I think they're starting to lose some faith in that. I don't think A&M's anywhere near that. I think Auburn's kind of on the fringe of that because they've done it. But A&M's trying to figure out how to get into that group with – I think it's Alabama, then I think it's LSU and Auburn, and then A&M's trying to crawl into that group with LSU and Auburn. Wouldn't you say it's about right?
I think that's right. I think when you look at what LSU's done over the time and just the athletes that they're able to get year in and year out – they've earned that number two spot. Auburn is every other year in the conversation that they can be that number two team. A&M has had some bright spots, but I think with the right coach, they could be in conversation with those other, you know, two programs for second place consistently in the SEC. I think that's where they want to be and what they want to be moving forward. Everybody wants to be Alabama, but I think everybody knows there's a maybe there's a void for second place in the SEC. Maybe there's a void for that in the Western Division, the second place group, and everybody's fighting for that right now. And I think you're right there, Tommy, with that comment.
Yeah, Mississippi State's trying to figure out how to get themselves up there. I mean, you look at what they have done and their recruiting rankings, and I know they're not there today, John, but I'm still trying to figure out what the heck's going on with Mississippi State. I know Dan Mullen did some great things with two great quarterbacks there that he brought in. Now he's left and gone to Florida, and it's like they haven't missed a beat. Their recruiting rankings are inside the top 15 and in some cases the top 10. Vegas has got them winning a lot of games this year. I think when we leave there this week, I'm not going to be surprised when they come out pick third to win third in the West.
Guys, I'm all for the good stories there. I'm all good in terms of talking about recruiting rankings, and they haven't missed a beat. I just know what change does to a program. I've been involved in the change in the program. And consistency in long term, I mean, you can go ahead and put me on record right now. If 2 years from now or 3 years from now we're talking about Mississippi State being the second or third best team in the West, I will be absolutely floored. I will be shocked, and I'll be the first one to eat crow. But I just do not think 2 years from now we're going to be talking, or even at the end of this year, looking at Mississippi State as the program to beat or one of the programs to beat in the SEC. I just don't see it holding that luster. I know you got a good offensive hire. You got a guy that's got a track record offensively, but not the track record as a head coach, not the track record that Dan Mullen has had. You know, Dan was the guy. He came in as an offensive coordinator, not as the head coach to Mississippi State. So not to, you know, just discount somebody because they don't have head coaching experience, but I just don't see the continued success at Mississippi State that Dan has brought over the last, you know, 5 to 8 seasons.
See, I don't either, and I feel like in certain programs, specifically in the SEC, you have caps. You know, you have caps of victories or caps of success. You know, Vanderbilt, their best years that they had, for instance, James Franklin, they had them at 9 wins. Mississippi State, Dan Mullen, when they had just a Dak Prescott caliber player, I mean, a once-in-a-generation type of player at Mississippi State, they got to 9 wins. You know, there's just certain programs that, for whatever reason, it just, when you look at them, no matter who the coach is, you're always just going to feel like, okay, well, they're not going to be any better than that. Mississippi State, nothing against them. You know, Jim Moorhead could be a great coach, could be a great hire, could really work out. But you just feel like, hey, it's still, at the end of the day, it's Mississippi State.
That's right. And when you think about it, you just named, you know, the head football coach of Mississippi State, and a lot of people were searching, including me. I'm going, okay, well, God, what was that guy's name again? Mm-hmm. And that's the point. That is exactly where I'm headed. At least with Dan Mullen, you go, you know, he's the guy that developed Tim Tebow. And, you know, there's some luster. When you walk into a recruit's place, you go, I was the guy that created Tim Tebow. And, you know, you don't get that. And I think the personality, even though, you know, Dan Mullen was, oh, golly, oh, shucks, kind of a guy, and not necessarily the guy that gets on the, you know, the podium and can wow everybody, he still brought a luster, I think, with offensive innovation and, you know, just the Tebow quality and the Urban Meyer quality of which he learned under, I think that gave him some luster there to maybe get Mississippi State out of the dweller.
So what do you think today? Let's bring it back to today's coaches, Jimbo, Orgeron. I know Kentucky's there too, but really focusing on the two teams that are on Arkansas' schedule. What do you think Jimbo does today? Does he win the day? I mean, there's always at the end of the day, and the media are kind of figuring out who won the day is – who's the coach today that kind of steals the show?
You know, my opinion is it's Jimbo Fisher. I think that's the biggest name, I think, other than Nick Saban, in our conference right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've had so much change, and you can say right, wrong, or indifferent. And every year, everybody goes, "Well, the SEC is just continuing to get better and better." I think right now the SEC is as down as it's been over the last probably 15 years because, yeah, you've got talent, but you've got a lot of change. And I think right now, you know, Jimbo Fisher next to Nick Saban might be the biggest household name in SEC football.
Hey, what's the bigger deal with Jimbo Fisher? And I'm sincere about this, that he's won a national title or that he's getting $7.5 million a year and a $75 million contract? Seriously. I mean, what's
John, what do you got?
I mean,
it's a no-brainer. It's the money. Because, listen, coaches keep getting paid more and more every year. I remember how just unbelievable it was when Alabama first hired Nick Saban, how much he was making, and it was like a little over $4 million. I mean, it was just so people – it's grown. But when you bring in a guy like that, like a program like A&M, who hasn't even been nationally competitive in decades – I mean, you could even make the argument they haven't been nationally competitive in a long time. I mean, Johnny Manziel's year was probably the best year they've had in 30 years. And you pay that type of money for a coach, it really opens up some eyes to where no longer, oh, Jimbo Fisher going to this school, he'll probably do really well, win a title. It's all of a sudden, man, Texas A&M is paying that much for this guy? He's got a lot of be better win. I mean, it just shows you how much money that A&M has to work with, but also how much pressure is going to come with Jimbo Fisher.
Gene Chizik still has a national championship too, guys.
I mean, yeah, there's guys out there that have been at this point, and it goes
but
back to my original point.
$7.5 million a year either.
No, we're close to that. But it goes back to my original point of why I just don't think Jimbo and Texas A&M is going to work out. There's just not enough guarantees. There's not enough there for me to look at and say this is why Jimbo will do what Kevin Sumlin couldn't do at A&M. There's just nothing there for me. So what's to say that Jimbo goes another 9 wins and a season,
I don't know. He kept Jameis out of trouble, and that's that's maybe an award in itself. But I think Jimbo brings that flair. You know, the flair you used to get with quite honestly, and I know it. You know, a lot of people kind of laugh at it, but Les Miles, a flair that you used to have with the old ball coach, Steve Spurrier.
Mm-hmm.
There's some personality you're going to get today with Jimbo Fisher and, for that matter, a little bit of Orgeron, although it might be blonde at times. It's going to – there'll be some 30-second clips that we're able to play on the radio tomorrow from both those two guys that are going to be fun. As you go down the rest of the SEC and day 2, 3, and 4 here of the media, or the rest of the week, I don't know if you can say that about the rest of the conference. It's going to be so PC. It's almost like these guys are going, man, I just got to get through this thing without saying something that's going to get me in trouble. And, you know, it used to not necessarily be that way. Used to have some fun and some flair to it, but there's so much scrutiny with the way these guys and how much these guys are getting paid. It's almost just, man, let's just stay right down the middle this week.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to hearing from him. It seems like we're so far from the days of Bielma and Gus Malzahn taking shots at each other, you know, in different rooms when they were talking about stuff. You know, we're just so far from it. But we're going to continue our discussion of SEC Media Days and all the things that are coming with it as well. But it is a Hot Take Monday presented by Crabtree RV.
Yeah, trade-up event going on right now, backed by popular demand at Crabtree RV in Alma. Right now giving top dollar for your pre-owned RV to get you in a nicer, newer model. Right now they've got travel trailers starting at $138 a month with zero down. New fifth wheels $238 a month with zero down. That's all at Crabtree RV in Alma. It's where your family's dreams come true.
This is Hot Take Monday on the Morning Rush, brought to you by Crabtree RV in Alma. Crabtree RV, where your family dreams come true. This is the Morning Rush.
All right, welcome back into the Morning Rush. Appreciate everybody listening in live from Radio Row here at SEC Media Days. Tommy, it's been fun so far.
Yeah, we're brought to you by Supercuts. They offer consistent quality haircuts for Northwest Arkansas and the River Valley, and they do it 7 days a week for men, women, and children. If you're looking for some of those great products when it's all said and done, they got those as well for you. Great hair products by Paul Mitchell, Biolage, Redkind, American Crew, and much more. All at Supercuts, conveniently serving its community 7 days a week. Supercuts, clean, sharp, ready.
All right, well, we welcome in now Matt Moscona of 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge as he's doing a Facebook Live video, too, at the same time, man. It's good to see you.
Technology's changed. Good to see you, too, John. It's one of my favorite things about coming to this event every year, seeing old, you know, good friends and people we get to hang out with like once a year and rap about. But technology's changed everything, man. I'm like, I'm doing a Facebook Live while I'm talking to you and the great people in Arkansas, and then I'll go. You have to be just like omnipresent at this event. You know what I mean? It's just like consuming it. Look, it's, what time is it? It's 8:30. Is time change throwing you off too?
It's throwing me off completely.
Dog, man. Yeah. I'm going to wait. I'm on 3 to 6, but no, it's Eastern, so it's 4 to 7. Yeah. But you want me on at 8, but is that 7 or is that 9? Anyway.
Yeah, no, it's been throwing me off too. I spent about a week and a half in Florida beforehand, so it helped a little bit on vacation. Yeah. But yeah, it's a big day, man. You know, LSU's going today. Ed Orgeron, head coach. We were talking a little bit earlier in the show, just, you know, there's pressure on him. At LSU, they, you know, he can't do 8 wins and be all right with it. I know that there's some pressure. Just what's kind of the vibe going into this season for the LSU Tigers?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think everybody is very aware of all of the expectations, right? And you can't avoid where Vegas or national media are putting out their season expectations. And everybody's pegging LSU at 7-5, 8-4, 6th in the SEC, 4th in the West. I mean, and so it's a new thing, John, like for LSU fans to kind of lower that expectation bar, and some refuse to do it. So it's created a lot of, you know, it's created a lot of animosity just sort of within the LSU fan base and community, with people who are saying, no, I mean, they're going to be really good. They're going to figure it out. All the question marks are going to work. And then people who kind of are taking a little bit more of a realistic approach to go, you know what, all the newness coupled with the schedule LSU faces this year, it's probably not going to be an Atlanta-type year, but recruiting's going well, and you can look to the future and see some really positive things ahead, but this year probably isn't it. So it's a really weird vibe, man. It's not the, hey, if they can only get past Bama, then they're back. It's like, man, buckle up, because this could be bumpy, but there is light at the end sort of thing.
Yeah, you know, Matt, when you look at LSU as a whole, you know, I think the big thing, I'm an offensive guy. I like offensive football. It seems like, you know, a lot of fan base, you know, that likes to score points. They see everybody else scoring points now. Offensive football seems to be a big part of the discussion, and the move from Les Miles to Orgeron. Can we develop quarterbacks? That seems to be the conversation we have with LSU. Another new offensive coordinator this year. What's your thought when you're looking at the landscape and maybe what that looks like in the trajectory of what LSU football looks like offensively moving forward?
This is such a cop-out answer, but what the offense looks like is anybody's guess, like, because nobody's seen it, right? So Steve Ensminger hasn't been a coordinator full-time coordinator in 20 years. The last time he was an OC, he was an interim OC, obviously, with LSU in 16, but then at Auburn in 2008. So nobody really knows exactly what they want to do. And at the end of spring, Ed Orgeron said their offense was about 35% in, and that was before they even had Joe Burrow come in into the fold. So nobody knows who the quarterback's going to be. Nobody knows who the starting running back's going to be. Nobody knows who the leading receiver. I mean, you lost your top two running backs, your top two receivers. You lose 3 offensive linemen. You lose your senior quarterback. And you got a new offensive coordinator. So, I don't know. I mean, my guess is that Ed was part of those USC teams with Pete Carroll in the early 2000s, and he saw Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush and Lendale White and be able to run power but have the thunder-lightning combo, but also quarterback that can throw for 3,000 yards. Like, I think that's what he envisions the perfect collegiate offense as. I don't know that he has the personnel to do it this year, so it will be very interesting to see, you know, how Steve Ensminger sort of adjusts. But, you know, I where LSU is deepest on this team is at receiver. It's where they have the most scholarship bodies and the most, like, ready-to-play guys. So if you just follow that logic, it would stand to reason you're going to see a lot of 3 and 4 receiver sets from LSU, which, again, is like when Nebraska went from Frank Solich to Bill Callahan, and they went from 30 years of option football to all of a sudden they're spreading it out. I mean, it might be some of that this year in Baton Rouge.
Speaking with Matt Moscona, host of After Further Review. You can hear him on ESPN 104.5 in Baton Rouge. Talking a little LSU. You know, the game that I feel like we've talked about so many times, of course, is Arkansas and LSU.
Sure.
And LSU's gotten the better of Arkansas the past few years. And now Arkansas has a new coach in Chad Morris. Just from the perspective from the outside of Arkansas' situation and Chad Morris as a head coach, what do you think about their program and the state of where it's at now, and also the game this year between those two teams?
I think Arkansas hiring Chad Morris is the right kind of hire. I think Brett Bielema tried to do at Arkansas what Les Miles did at LSU and what Nick Saban did at Alabama. And just being frank, there isn't the talent base in the state of Arkansas to recruit to that style to be able to beat LSU and Alabama in your division consistently. So if you're Arkansas, do what Bobby Petrino did. Recruit guys that can spread it out and throw it around. I don't like calling it a gimmick offense. I think that's unfair because it's just the way offense is progressing in college football. But that's why Bobby Petrino got Arkansas to number three in the country in 2011 when they played that game in Baton Rouge. Like, it can work. Now, I don't think it's going to work this year. I think Arkansas is going to have a really, really rough go switching from Bielema's style to try to fit now what Chad Morris wants to do. I think there's going to be some awful growing pains there. But if Arkansas fans are willing to be patient and their new administration is willing to be patient, I think Chad Morris is a really good hire. I'm very, very curious, and not in a good way, to see what John Chavis does, because I saw John have some dominant defenses at LSU, but he was littered with NFL talent. I saw him go to A&M where he had, I don't want to say marginal talent, but certainly not near the talent he had at LSU, and he had defenses ranked in the 50s and the 60s. Now you're going to Arkansas where the talent pool is going to be even drier. Man, and with Chad Morris running a tempo spread, that defense is going to be on the field more. Like, I think that was a mistake by Chad Morris. I get why he did it. Veteran guy, knows the SEC, all that jazz. I get it. But John doesn't want to recruit. He's not. That was a big problem at LSU. He coached linebackers, and they stopped recruiting linebackers. At one point, John, a couple of years ago, LSU had more place kickers on the roster than linebackers. I mean, it's a problem, you know. So I think Chad Morris is going to work to whatever degree that – to whatever that means to Arkansas people, I guess, could be different. Do I think he'll win a national championship? No. But is he the guy that can consistently put you at, you know, 8-9 wins, and then maybe where Mississippi State was with Dan Mullen, where every fourth year, you know, you cycle through, you get that great team. We're talking about a team that's going to go, you know, scare some teams and push to be – in that top 15, top 10 discussion. I think that absolutely can happen with Chad Morris.
Well, see, and that was really going to be my next question, was talking about Chavis, because I know you have a lot of experience with what he was able to do. So, I mean, can you expect at least what he did at A&M at Arkansas? Because with the style and the tempo, that's been the main discussion of, you know, at LSU, he didn't have that, so it was a little easier to maneuver around. But Razorback fans are trying to find some reason to be excited about it. Can he at least make it a serviceable defense at Arkansas?
Define serviceable.
doing what he did at A&M. I mean, can he do that same type of 50s, 40s, 50s, 60s type of defense?
Is that going to be good enough?
I don't know. It'll be better than what it's been. That's for sure.
I guess. I think the best case for John Chavis at Arkansas is find somebody on that staff. And you would know the staff much better than me, John, right? I don't know, and I'll grant you that. But find somebody on that staff that can find a way to do – here you go. When Ellis Johnson was at South Carolina under Steve Spurrier, they had this wave of talent come through, and a lot of them were in-state kids. And you had DJ Swearinger, and you had Jadeveon Clowney, and you had who was the linebacker that's still in the league? McKinney? I don't remember. Anyway, they had this slew of talent that came through South Carolina, and all of a sudden you're going, holy crap, like, they're winning 11 games now because Spurrier had his Connor Shaw thing working, and the defense ended up recruiting. If they can get those types of players, I don't know if they're in Arkansas, but if they can recruit that type of talent, then yeah, then you can have that type of cycle where it works out to that degree, I think. But that's a big ask.
You know, Matt, just switching back to LSU for just a minute. You know, and I don't mean to keep harping on offense and throwing it back to LSU, but, you know, from an outsider looking in, you feel like you've got all the talent in the world at LSU. You've got all the resources in the world at LSU. And if they had the production, if they had the development at the quarterback position along with the offense, and I know they're barking about the same thing at LSU that we're thinking here in Arkansas, but what is the upside, and is Ed Orgeron the guy to do that? And I'm trying to piece the puzzle together of what really offensively LSU can be and maybe should be. And in your mind, is this the right package to make all that work?
Well, yeah. I mean, Tyler, you should know. I mean, you got to watch LSU.
I know my opinion is no.
But, Tyler, that's the question that we've been having around LSU for 10 years.
It blows my mind. You eat, sleep, and breathe it on a day-to-day basis. And I'm curious to know what the local flair, because I know what my opinion is. Externally, it's going, man, if they could solve that riddle, which it seems like when you look at offensive landscape around the country, everybody else is solving that riddle. They've got really good quarterback play. They've got really good wide receivers. And for whatever reason, LSU can't figure that piece out. You got great defense. You got skill players out the wazoo. You bring up linebacker play. That's something LSU has had year in and year out. Secondary players, but offensively, you've got great receivers. But why not the quarterback? And why not the offensive innovation that maybe you've seen all over college football for the last 15 years?
Well, in fairness, they went offensive innovation last year with Matt Canada, and Matt and Ed Orgeron butted heads, and Ed's the head coach, and he won, and
right.
so they bounced Matt after a year. If you want to go deep dive on this, I'll try to do this as quickly as I can. At its most basic level, the problem is Louisiana doesn't produce quarterbacks. You can come to the state of Louisiana, and you can see they've got the number one defensive tackle in the country this year in Ish Sofser. They got the number one cornerback in the country in Derek Stingley, who's from Baton Rouge. I mean, run down the list of Fournette, Geis, Tyrann Mathieu. I mean, look at the great guy, Odell Beckham, all within a 70-mile radius of LSU's campus. What Louisiana doesn't produce at a high level is quarterbacks, quite honestly. So it's been slim pickings, and they've had to go outside of the state, and they've had to recruit regionally and nationally to try to find quarterbacks. And when you go into Texas, like there's the kid Grant Gunnell this year who just committed to Arizona, but he's from Houston, so you're fighting off. And, of course, you know, he was being recruited by Kevin Sumlin at A&M. It's been a bit of a grind, and when LSU has gotten those quarterback commits, it's sort of like that's the next great hope. You know, people are, some still are, very high on Miles Brennan, that he could be the next guy. Before that, people were super psyched about Brandon Harris. Before that, y'all remember this? When Anthony Jennings led the comeback against Arkansas in Baton Rouge in 2013, the 99-yard drive, people like, think we found it. We got the quarterback. It's like, and then Anthony Jennings 2 years later is playing at Louisiana Lafayette. It's not been an easy thing. You know, as the position has developed, it was the advent of 7-on-7s, as offensive football in college has evolved, LSU's been slow to evolve. And to their credit, I think Ed and Steve Ensminger recognize a lot of what Les Miles didn't or wouldn't be willing to change, and they're trying to change it. I think it's just a matter of getting the personnel, and we'll see if Joe Burrow now, the Ohio State transfer, is that guy. But, I mean, if we could solve that question, yeah, LSU might have the number of titles in the last decade that Alabama has.
Yeah, that's right. And, it's going to be fascinating to see how it develops. And, you know, Ed Orgeron, like we said, it's got a lot of pressure. Maybe this will be the year where he can finally break through. Matt Moscona, host of After Further Review, weekdays from 3 to 6 Central Time on 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge. Always appreciate you joining me, man. Great stuff as always.
Thanks, man.
Thanks,
appreciate
Tyler. The insight on that as well. And we'll get to more of SEC Media Days on the other side of the break. But first, we got to tell you about Gaston's.
Yeah, great time to get to Gaston's White River Resort, 870-431-5202. A few weeks left before the kids are back in school, about a month left for most kids and 3 to 4 weekends left. So get up, make a great weekend, make a few days during the week, and get to Gaston's for a great trip that will make great memories that you'll have for a lifetime. 870-431-5202 at Gaston's White River Resort. Great cabins, great houses, great lodges, everything you need. They'll get you set up in the right accommodations. Great on-site restaurant for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Swimming pool there. Playground equipment there for the younger kids. I mean, something for the whole family is at Gaston's. 870-431-5202 for Gaston's White River Resort. Gaston's, a first-class time, every time.
This is Hot Take Monday on the Morning Rush. Brought to you by Crabtree RV in Alma. Crabtree RV, where your family dreams come true.
The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. This red lager is specially brewed for proud veterans across the country. For every case purchased, Budweiser will donate $1 to Fold of Honor, a nonprofit providing scholarships to families of fallen soldiers. Bud Light, please drink responsibly. The Morning Rush is bringing you today's show from SEC Media Days in Atlanta, Georgia. Now, live from Radio Row at the College Football Hall of Fame, here's John Neighbors.
2 hours down, 1 hour to go. Appreciate everybody listening in on this beautiful day here in the great state of Georgia as we are broadcasting live from SEC Media Day's radio room here at the Omni Hotel. It's been a fun-filled show and appreciate everybody listening in this morning on this Hot Take Monday presented by Crabtree RV.
Yeah, right now they're giving top dollar for pre-owned RVs during their trade-up event. Get a nicer, newer model without raising your budget. No reasonable offer refused. And if you don't already own an RV, that's no problem. What are you waiting for? Take advantage of deals on new travel trailers. Payments start at $138 a month with zero down. Fifth wheels, $238 a month with zero down. It's all at Crabtree RV in Alma. It's where your family's dreams come true.
Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette now joins us live from Radio Row. It's good to see you, Tom, actually being in person, being able to interview you, man.
It's great to be here, and thanks for calling this the great state of Georgia. I think you did that for me.
Of course I did.
The home state.
Yep.
That's right, yeah. So this is kind of like home for you. So what do you, just starting right there, what do you think about the transition now from Hoover, Alabama, now to Atlanta for SEC Media Days? Has some positives so far, at least. It's hard to tell.
Well, I just think I'm going to like the change of pace. Obviously, getting to tour the Hall of Fame, College Football Hall of Fame, is going to be awesome. And I'm about to walk over there as soon as we get off the air here, or as soon as I get off the air. So that's going to be neat. And, you know, I don't get to reacquaint myself with downtown Atlanta very often. And so this is going to be 4 nights. Walking around, seeing what kind of shops and restaurants there are. So I'll be happy about that. But this room is going to be different. It's going to be a challenge for you. I'm going to go ahead and say that because I don't like the sound quality, the way it's bouncing off the walls.
The ambiance?
The ambiance is not good. Hey, it's tight.
Tom, last week when we had you on, we talked about Chad Morris and how he would, you know, his message and some of the things he'd be presenting. One of the things we didn't know last week when we visited that he'd have to present is probably how he was going to handle some disciplinary action. Young receiver Mike Woods got himself into some trouble over the weekend, a DUI charge, a couple other things. Your thoughts on this headline, this story, and how do you think Chad Morris handles that? You know it's going to come up when he's there tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, he'll be asked about it. And I guess it's the first arrest under Chad Morris's watch, which, come to think of it, you know, that's been since December, so half a year. Not a bad deal. And the weird thing about it, I talked to Mike Woods on Thursday, so 2 days before this happened, for our summer feature on the Hog Futures, on the newcomers. And he's just such a well-spoken kid, and I know he's got great parental guidance. His father was a policeman who's retired, and he said he got his discipline from him. So I bet he heard from Pops.
He may be getting some more discipline from Pops.
Yeah, and, you know, as we were talking last night, what kid that age really doesn't drink? So it's just a bad decision to go out driving, and he probably, you know, felt he was well under control and all that, but I guess doing the turn and almost hitting the cop car was not good.
The U-turn, I mean, if you're under 21, the legal limit's, you know, much, much lower than the .08 for anyone over the legal age, so you can be charged with DUI at a much, .02, so,
yeah.
You know, so you can get, you know, it's a different deal, but when you're in that situation, you know, it's a bad, the timing is terrible to put your coach in this situation 2 days ahead or 3 days ahead of SEC Media Days.
It really is, and it's a poor decision, and I'm sure he'll pay for it with, you know, some physical punishment and stuff like that, and who knows, he might lose it, he might miss a game. I'm not sure what Chad's track record is for this, you know, same type of offense, but could cost him a game or two.
Speaking with Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette right now on the show. Tom, just kind of looking at the rest of the week, we'll get into some previews today. We'll hear from Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner. Also, the two teams that we're really interested in is Texas A&M with Jimbo Fisher and LSU with Ed Orgeron. Those two opponents, this year, you know, Arkansas, do you feel like either of them, could they maybe get a victory out of? Is it going to be a great matchup? Just what do you kind of think about the matchups between those two teams for Arkansas this season?
Well, the A&M game obviously coming first, and a lot of pressure on Jimbo Fisher. I mean, when you get presented with a plaque that says National Championship 2000 and blank, you know, like, that's your expectation. That's tough, and that's pressure. And, of course, I think they can hang with A&M. I mean, when you've gone into overtime with them three of the last 4 years or whatever it is, I know something like that, and could have won all three of those games, basically, in regulation, then you know you can hang with them. And just because there's two new coaches, I don't think that changes that dynamic. Obviously, they have a bigger recruiting base, and they might have more talent across the board. But I think Arkansas can hang with them. And then LSU, they have defeated those guys in previous years, so they can beat them too. What I hope doesn't happen is I hope Ed Orgeron doesn't go through 20-something minutes of his depth chart in that cage and rumble like he did last year. That was not good.
Are those the two biggest games on Arkansas' schedule this year?
I mean, the
two biggest swing games, I think.
Well, I think the A&M game obviously is a huge early swing game. And, I mean, Auburn, you know, you'd have to say that would be an upset if Arkansas could take Auburn out. But, yeah, so A&M's a big swing game. I think LSU every year is a pivotal game. There's a bunch of them on this schedule.
Throw Ole Miss in there, too.
Yeah, throw Ole Miss. And, I mean, you know, Mississippi State road game, well, they won the last time they were in Starkville and could have beat them last year. So all these SEC West games could turn out to be pivotal. But those are two the fans really get into, obviously.
I just think LSU coming off a bye seems like a game at home you really need to win this year.
I wouldn't disagree with that. It's at home, and LSU has, you know, there's always bigger games for them down the road, and they're the ones who got off this Thanksgiving weekend deal. So there should be some motivation there.
Tom, Arkansas obviously is not going today. They're going on Tuesday of this week. Anything you're expecting from Chad Morris and the players? Anything you're looking for as far as what things they're going to say? Just kind of an overall outlook from them.
Well, I guess Chad's first big-time national exposure event, because everyone knows who he is and what his reputation is and all that. But when he went to SMU, he kind of went under the radar for a few years. And so now it's going to be, what is your message? How do you present yourself publicly? Do you have quick wit on this stage? And it's not an easy thing to do. Some guys, it comes natural. Steve Spurrier, this was his moment, and he shined in this moment. And Chad is he's been a little repetitive on some of his recruiting pitches that he's given in post game practice stuff. So this will be a refresher. Obviously, he's had some time off, and I hope he's got a few fun things prepared to say. And because it gives an impression to the national guys and the rest of the people covering this conference who you're about and what your program is.
Yeah, especially in the fact that, you know, with the personalities that we loved so much, like a Les Miles or Steve Spurrier or Brett Bielema, they're all gone. And, we were talking about earlier in the show, we can't really think of anybody that's got that personality where it's like, oh, man, we can't wait to hear what he has to say today. There's not really that coach, at least not right now.
Exactly. And the Nick Saban clones are starting to populate this conference. And we know, I fully expect Jeremy Pruitt to be a dry, very serious. And Kirby Smart cracked a couple jokes last year, but it wasn't like a full-time gig thing. So, and how crazy last year was Jim McElwain? You knew something was off in his world the way he responded to the questions about the shark. So inevitably something happened and he's gone. And I don't think, like I said, I don't think Pruitt's going to be a fun and engaging. And so maybe I think Chad Morris has some spontaneous wit about him. And it would serve him well if he unleashed that here.
Greg Sankey will give the kind of the state of the union, if you will, the state of the league today. I'm certain that a lot of his address or a good piece of it will be honoring and remembering all of the achievements Mike Slive made for this league. The first SEC media days that you've had and without Mike Slive there, and remembering Mike Slive who passed away during the few months ago this year.
That's right, and he set a great legacy. That Greg Sankey has taken up the mantle for. And so I'm sure a good portion of his address. And by the way, he previewed it last night on the SEC Network. I just happened to catch a replay later in the evening. I think he said it was 27 minutes, give or take. So that could be a lengthy one. And I think he's going to talk about having two SEC teams in the championship game again. And this conference's return to dominance on the national stage, and I'm sure there'll be a tribute to the academic success and probably a few words about having the event here in Atlanta this year. And I mean, I think it returns to Hoover next year, but I think this is a great change of pace, and I'm really happy to be
here. Well, I mean, let's be honest. When the commissioner of the SEC says these are the initiatives that are important to us in this league and the things that we want to see changed in the landscape of college sports, a lot of times those things happen because this league has that kind of power.
Yeah, it really does. And I mean, they've been on the forefront of a lot of things. And when I think back to Mike Slive taking over and saying he wanted all the teams off probation in 5 years, I mean, I think that happened. Did y'all keep track of that? I think that happened. Mm-hmm. Mississippi State and Bama cleaned up their acts in time.
Yep.
And so here we are now, and a team that's making unprecedented profits for its members.
Led the way with full cost of attendance and several other big changes in the landscape of college athletics.
Indeed, the SEC has.
So, Tom, real quick before we let you get out of here, you don't have to give us your whole breakdown of your predictive order of finish like we're all going to do for the SEC, but just if you have a little insight on what you think the SEC is going to do as far as who's going to win what and what's going to happen this season.
Well, you know, since Omaha, I haven't given a whole lot of thought to that. but, you know, here's the way I look at the West. It's hard to separate Alabama and Auburn from it's hard to say that anybody is going to challenge those two this year. The way Auburn finished, and I know they got a lot of – they lost a lot of linemen, and they lost key running backs like Kerryon Johnson. But with Stidham back at quarterback, I think they're just going to find a way to be competitive. Now, they do have a much tougher schedule. They play at Bama and at Georgia, so I don't think Auburn's going to win the West. I think the people – what I hear about Alabama is they think their offense is going to be dynamic, no matter whether it's Tua or Jalen Hurts leading it, and they have plenty of depth and all that kind of stuff, and I'm sure their defense will be sound and strong. People think Mississippi State could be a dark horse. I'm not buying that hype quite yet. Ole Miss, I don't know where they're going to be. I mean, all I see year to year is Arkansas beats them, you know, pull something out against them, and we know where Arkansas has been the last few years. So LSU, that leaves LSU and A&M, who we've already talked about. I don't know if Ed Orgeron has it in him to push all the right buttons to put a team on the brink of getting a championship. He hasn't proven it. He's proven that he can kind of keep the team together, but doing that and then leading a team to a championship or the brink of one is a totally different story. Jimbo Fisher has the pedigree. He's won a national championship, but this is a whole different world for him where every week can be really tough. So I'm not predicting A&M to be a challenger this year.
So there you have it. Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Always appreciate you joining us, Tom. I guess it's not in studio, but in the radio room. Enjoy Atlanta. Enjoy SEC Media Days.
Well, if you're going to be here Thursday,
I will.
I can wander back over
here. Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, well, we'll count
we
on
be.
It then.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will be here Thursday as well. So there you have it, Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
See y'all.
Hey, appreciate it, Tom. And we're going to continue our discussions of SEC Media Days and some other things going on throughout the rest of the hour. But first, before we get out of here, we got to tell you about 3-Day Wall Breaker.
Yeah, if you fight midday mental and physical fatigue, there are numerous products available to help you get through that they're full of stimulants, full of sugars, and they're really not all that healthy for you. They put you on a fatigue roller coaster. 3-Day Wall Breaker can help you break through that with a revolutionary nutritional drink mix. It's orange flavored, it's in a powder mix, and it's complete mind and body support that's free of stimulants, free of sugars, and perfect for everyday use. Feel the difference in your energy level when you use 3-Day Wall Breaker. Full of vitamin C, B12, glucosamine. It helps you alleviate muscle soreness. It's full of amino acids to support muscle recovery. You will feel the difference. In convenient 3-pack pouches or 30-day serving jars, find it online at 3daywallbreaker.com. Try it for 3 days. You will feel the difference. That's 3-Day Wall Breaker online at 3daywallbreaker.com. 3-Day Wall Breaker. Try it today at 3daywallbreaker.com.
The voice of Razorback fans across Arkansas. The Morning Rush continues next. The Morning Rush is coming to you live from SEC Media Days. Presented by Little Switzerland Cabins and Chalets, just 2.5 miles north of Jasper. The perfect home base for all your outdoor adventures in the Ozarks. Find out more at cabinsintheozarks.net. This is The Morning Rush.
All right, welcome back into the Morning Rush, broadcasting live from SEC Media Days here in Atlanta, Georgia. Once again, I want to thank our sponsors for making it possible, presented by Little Switzerland Razorback Camper and Harry Robinson Buick GMC. We've had a lot of insight so far today. We're going to continue that throughout the week. We're going to have some great guests lined up for you. Also get some audio from various coaches and players around the SEC. So really fun event. Looking forward to this week. And it's going to be fun, but it's also going to be a lot of work, too.
Yeah, things don't really get going for a couple more hours. I mean, this is, I know day one, but day one really hadn't gotten going yet. So
yeah, I haven't seen a media member get carried out of a bar yet. So it really doesn't start until that starts happening down
well,
here.
Well, that's not till 11:30 this morning. Yeah,
yeah, that doesn't happen for another hour or so. Yeah. But no, it's going to be great, and we're going to have a great coverage for you throughout the week. And this segment, it is time for our on the spot question of the day, presented by Washington Regional.
Washington Regional Medical Center, committed to providing stroke care that aligns with the latest research based treatment guidelines. Studies show that patients can recover better when these guidelines are consistently followed. Washington Regional, proud to be recognized by the American Heart Association for achievement in the Get with the Guidelines and Target Stroke Quality programs. Just one more way Washington Regional is working to improve health care for you and your family. Get more details at WRegional.com.
And the on-the-spot question of the day is something we discussed earlier in the show, but to bring back up, what are you looking forward to hearing about from SEC Media Days, if anything? We had a lot of responses from some of our listeners on Twitter as well, but guys, I mean, what are the things you're looking forward to hearing about? It doesn't have to be just coaches, but just anything in general.
You know, I think from my vantage point, you look through the conference, and today is Jimbo Fisher. And I know you're wanting the broad brush of what SEC Media Days and what the takeaway is. But today it's Jimbo Fisher. He's the newest addition to the SEC. He's probably the strongest name below Nick Saban in the conversation. And he speaks today. You know, I think in the landscape, I think you're interested to hear Kirby Smart. You know, I'm interested in Muschamp. I think that could be an interesting discussion. You look at, I think South Carolina probably be the most underrated year of all the college football programs last year. You just, it's almost like Arkansas in 2000, what would have been 2009 before they go to BCS or before we go to the BCS. I mean, a lot of people knew Arkansas was trending in the right direction, wasn't getting a lot of talk, but I think South Carolina is potentially a sleeper. I don't know. I just, that's my gut feeling right now. Interested in that conversation. Gus Malzahn, although maybe not the most interesting of talkers this week and probably will be very vanilla, they're the ones that are going to challenge Alabama in the West. I think if we all drew it up right now, they'd be the consensus number two to challenge Alabama. And we know how that rivalry has you know, played out over the last, you know, few years. It seems like it comes down to the Iron Bowl, and you've had the exciting finishes. So, you know, what does Gus Malzahn say that maybe we haven't heard? And then, you know, locally, you've got Chad Moore. As Chad gets his first opportunity to address the nation of college football, the nation of the SEC, and does he say anything that catches us maybe by surprise? It's been very PC to this point and buttoned up and laced up, but does he maybe get outside the lines a little bit in color and allow us you know, to take some things into fall camp with some energy?
Yeah, I think there's something each day you're probably picking out, and I think you're right. Jimbo Fisher today is the guy that he's one of, what, six new head coaches that are in the league. You're trying to kind of figure out. He's the guy that not only has a national championship that's coming into the league. You don't see that very often, honestly, if you stop and think about it. The guy with the title that comes into the league as a new head coach. But he's got $7.5 million a year, $75 million guaranteed at a program that's expecting a national championship in a division that has Alabama as a foe. So I want to hear how he's going to do it, because that's clearly what they've hired him to do. You don't pay a guy $75 million guaranteed if you're not expecting to win at all. So how are you going to accomplish that? What's your blueprint? What's the roadmap? What do you – are you going to say anything less than that? You're expecting anything less than that? Because anything short of that is going to really disappoint some people back in College Station. So I want to hear what you got to say about that today if you're Jimbo. And of course, tomorrow I want to hear exactly how Chad Morris handles himself. What's his selling points to the program? We've heard it here locally, but what's he going to say when it's now to a national audience, when he's introducing Chad Morris to the college football world? It's a different speech. It's a different address than you're hearing at your local Razorback club than what he's going to give. So those are the two things I want to hear these first 2 days. And, of course, you're going to hear from Kirby Smart. And you're going to hear from some of these other new coaches we don't, you know, some of these newer names that haven't been in the league at all. You know, Moorhead down at Mississippi State. I want to know who this guy is, what he's all about. We know his background at Penn State, but what's this guy about? Why people had him picked so high? So there's some things. But then, it's the old names. Saban going to say anything interesting? He's kind of gotten a little more flashy here in the offseason a little bit for his standards. Is he going to do anything to make some headlines, make some waves? You know, he's always kind of the number one news guy there just because that's the way it's been when it's been in Birmingham, in Hoover. Will it be any different there this year, John? I don't know. That's one thing I want to see about this event. Is it covered any differently now that it's 2 hours further east and all the media is not right there from the state of Alabama? Is it covered any differently? Does Georgia maybe get a little more love because it's in their state? I'm going to find some of that stuff a little interesting.
Yeah,
Alabama was clearly the hometown favorite in Hoover.
Yeah, I will too, because with the setup and especially with Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M, I don't find it fascinating in them just because I just am so obsessed with Texas A&M or the matchups or anything. I find it fascinating because of the things we brought up with the amount of money Jimbo's making, with the team that Arkansas has been arguably the most competitive against when it came to on the field. I know they haven't won any of the games, but every game's been really close. This might be a program that Arkansas sees itself at the same level. A lot of history, a lot of animosity towards these two programs. I mean, it's just one that I feel like it has a lot of connections to Arkansas. And they interest me because, okay, they show that they can pay anybody however much money they want to pay if they feel like it's going to get them victories, it's going to get them championships. But is Jimbo Fisher going to be that guy? Is he going to be another nemesis for Arkansas in the coming years? Because right now you have Alabama, who, of course, we know the history with that. Arkansas's lost, 11 straight games now to Alabama? It's been a long time since they've been able to get a victory. But Arkansas has had some success against Auburn here and there. Even Brett Bielema was able to beat Auburn. Mississippi State, Ole Miss, all these other teams. But they haven't had success against A&M. At all under Brent Bielema, or since even Bobby Petrino was the last coach in 2011, and Tyler, you the quarterback, the last time Arkansas beat Texas A&M. It's been that long. So is it going to change up? Are there going to be some differences? Is Jimbo going to be the guy that's going to cause havoc for Arkansas for the coming years? Or is it going to be a setup to where maybe Arkansas can finally get over that hump and Chad Morris can get it going against Jimbo Fisher? I don't know, but I feel like that's the team that Arkansas is really going to have to watch for the next few years to see exactly where they're going to stack up in the SEC West.
Yeah, I think – I mean, I don't know how much more to elaborate on, Texas A&M and what they bring to the table and what the topics are other than you just signed the biggest deal – other than Nick Saban, Nick's got the single-year deal, but...
In addition to a $500 million stadium improvement.
You could make the argument that Texas A&M has spent more money on football and desires to be good at football more than any program in the country.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what they have made the statement to be. And, today's the first day where we talk about every other program other than Arkansas on the air because it's SEC Media Days. We're not talking about Arkansas because they don't get the podium today. We're talking about LSU, which we just I just rattled off a couple segments ago while we just are continuing to scratch our head about LSU. Kentucky, they probably will ask Stoops some basketball questions, you think? I mean, he'll probably have Calipari on the air at some point today. On several of these stations asking about what the state of the football program looks like. And so, naturally, today, the topic of conversation is Texas A&M.
Yeah, I like that game, and, of course, the LSU game we brought up, too. That's going to be the fascinating part. But there's other things going on, too, later in the week as well.
And I hope someone asked Jimbo Fisher, his thoughts on playing the Arkansas game in Arlington and what he thinks the future of that series should be, and if it should be back to home campuses, and what and if he'll answer the question.
And speaking specifically about the game, since I just glossed over it on an overview, yes, that game is crucial to both of these two head coaches. I mean, you can throw the last 5 years. All of the fan base cares about it. All of the fan base has felt the heartburn if you're Arkansas. Although the fan base, you go back to 5 years during the Sherman era, Texas A&M felt the same way about Arkansas that Arkansas feels about Texas A&M now, because we both have had, these 4 and 5 year streaky runs against each other of, rattling off these wins. I think Petrino had, 2 or 3 in a row, maybe 3. And so, Texas A&M's felt the same animosity and frustration that Arkansas is feeling now. And, none of these two head coaches, they're 0-0 against each other. So this series to them, it does matter. It matters to the fans, but the coaching staff does not have the same animosity, And both coaches know it. They're both aware of the situation, but both are going to be 0-0 on each other.
But you're an A&M fan. You got a $75 million coach who's won a national title, and you lose to the guy that was at SMU. And it's now at Arkansas. You'll be very happy. Now, if you're an Arkansas fan, obviously you're going to be elated because you kind of snap that streak. But that's the A&M mindset, right?
Basically, if Arkansas is able to beat Texas A&M, beat Jimbo Fisher, and Chad Morris gets the win in year one, what's going to be so frustrating, it's going to be Moneyball. Because, hold on, we passed up on the guy that was 2 hours from our stadium and was coaching at SMU that we could have got for a third of the price, and we flew all the way over to Florida to go get this guy and pay him the farm and half the wool fields in the state of Texas, and we still can't win. Yeah. That's going to be the narrative, and that absolutely would be frustrating.
Absolutely, because if you're an A&M fan, you are absolutely making the point that we have at worst got the second best coach in this league. It's Saban and then our guy, Jimbo. Mm-hmm. And you'll preach that sermon until proven otherwise.
Yeah.
Because my guy's got a ring,
Yeah. Well, and that's what's the pressure is going to be added to Jimbo Fisher. But, yeah, you talk about it, Tyler, and just, if they were able to miss out on Chad Morris being a Texas A&M guy. I mean, to miss out on that, if he ends up being, that's something that's also Razorback fans are going to watch for, because if Chad Morris ends up being great and Jimbo doesn't work out, they may try to poach Chad Morris. And once again, I don't know if he'd go, but it's definitely something that'd have to be looked at. No,
for $75 million, he's gone.
that's true. I mean, that type of contract. Good grief! I can't even imagine. There's not even NFL players making that type of money. But yeah, there's Jimbo Fisher over there making some high dollars there. But we're going to continue. We got one more segment to go. We're going to have all the week coverage of SEC Media Days right here on the Morning Rush for you as well. Before we take a commercial break, though, we got to tell you about Ritchie Brothers Auctioneers.
Yeah, if you need to sell that heavy equipment, trucks, and other assets, Ritchie Brothers is the place you need to go. Unprecedented ways to sell when, where, and how that you want. In business for more than 60 years, and they're all over the place, all around the world. In fact, Ritchie Brothers has the experience, the solutions, and the global reach to help you reach the most buyers. That means the maximum for your returns. Sellers can take advantage of unreserved on-site auctions, weekly online auctions, and reserved online marketplaces, as well as their extensive buyer network with Ritchie Brothers. And whether you're selling one item or a whole fleet, your needs are their purpose with Ritchie Brothers. Call David Lee, 479-651-5331. That's 651-5331. Or visit Ritchie Brothers online at richiebros.com. That's Ritchie, BROS.com for Ritchie Brothers Auctioneers.
The most honest sports radio show in Arkansas. The Morning Rush continues next.
The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. This red lager is specially brewed for proud veterans across the country. For every case purchased, Budweiser will donate $1 to Fold of Honor, a nonprofit providing scholarships to families of fallen soldiers. Bud Light, please drink responsibly.